This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
According to a survey by Oklahoma State University, grilling is poised to increase demand for meat this spring. The food demand survey found consumers' willingness to pay for steak increased 9% this month. Meanwhile, consumers say their willingness to pay for chicken breasts increased 1% and 2.5% for pork chops compared to levels indicated in April. Consumers noted a decrease of interest for deli ham and pasta, also according to the survey. The amount spent on food eaten at home in general increased 4% in May from April, and expenses on food bought away from home decreased 4.8%. Meat industry publication Meeting Place says consumers expect beef, chicken, and pork prices to drop in the next couple of weeks compared to 1 month ago. Well, looking at some national ag news, in his campaign for the White House, Donald Trump stressed the dangers of consistently running a trade deficit. A USA Today article says the administration will likely focus on ways to cut into the trade deficit when renegotiations formally begin on the North American Free Trade Agreement. One key point that Trump wants to revise is the rules of origin. The article says Trump believes too many parts used to assemble goods in NAFTA countries are supplied by non-NAFTA nations. When those goods are assembled, they come into the U.S. tax-free. Government contracts are another key topic for the administration. NAFTA requires the three governments to consider suppliers from other countries when it comes to infrastructure projects. That means the U.S. government must look at Mexican and Canadian suppliers as favorably as it does with American suppliers. However, Trump wants the U.S. government to favor American suppliers, and experts worry that could lead to retaliation by Mexico and Canada. Dispute resolution is another item of concern. Current NAFTA rules say disputes should be heard by a panel of members from all three countries. Trump believes cases involving American businesses should be heard in American courts. He believes American businesses don't always get a fair shake in dispute resolution. Well, looking at some local news, farmers have been getting in the fields while they can this week, and you probably know that yourself, with many corn acres being planted a second time. I caught up with M&M Service Company regional sales agronomist Jason Bowler about how the crops look and the progress that's been made this third week of May.
A lot of guys this week, you hit the nail on the head, are finally able to get back in after all the heavy rain we've had over the last 3 weeks. A lot of corn stands were pretty thin. I think that last bout of rain just kind of made some of these replant decisions even harder and let a few more plants come up. But in a lot of cases on clay soils, there was only 18,000 to 19,000 plants per acre up. So a lot of those stands that kind of looked good from the road are actually pretty thin and wound up getting ripped out and replanted. It's been a pretty busy week in the country.
Well, I've definitely seen the dust flying and the tractors in the fields. M&M Service, so that's Montgomery, Macoupin, and Madison. So are things varying in all three of the counties? Is it pretty similar, or what have you been seeing?
So I think it more varies by soil type. So I primarily cover southern Montgomery County and Madison County. As I get kind of the northern, areas of my territory on some of the better, darker soils, I think those soils really took the rainfall and the water a lot better. It kind of allowed some of that rainfall to disperse, or to drain off a little faster. A lot of our clay-type soils, with all that heavy rain, they really just kind of ran back together and formed a thick crust of concrete that wound up suffocating out a lot of corn. So, I would say any of our lighter soils was a lot tougher than some of our darker prairie soils to the north.
I know a lot of the replanting that's going on, it is corn because that's what we put in the ground first. Are there very many beans planted, or how are the bean acres looking?
I will say before the rain started, there were some beans in the ground. And truthfully, in a lot of respects, I think the beans today, with good treatments that we have on them, really take rainfall as good or better than a corn crop. I've been evaluating a few bean stands that they're at least 90 to 95%. I mean, there's going to be some thin areas out there. For the most part, I'd say guys are just going to be dropping planters in and just patching in some of those wet holes in these bean stands. But for the most part, I would say the beans took all that rain as good as the corn did, or better. So.
All right. Well, that's definitely good news. Jason, do you have any concerns with all this rain? I don't know about what nutrients are left in the soil or weed pressure. Or is there anything on your mind that is, you know, going to be a concern for farmers?
You know, obviously, InServe, I think, is going to be worth its weight in gold this year, kind of keeping that anhydrous in stable, non-losable form. I've seen, even in fields of corn that did not ground out and people are going to keep, there was quite a bit of soil erosion and washing down the road. And with that soil movement, I think a lot of herbicide kind of broke or moved with that. So I think we're going to be seeing, even our good stands of corn, we're going to be seeing weed issues coming. I know this heat and moist conditions really bringing on the water hemp in any fields that haven't been sprayed yet. So all in all, I would be a little worried about our soil surface applied forms of nitrogen, I should say, and unstabilized nitrogen in the soil.
All right. We talked about corn and beans, and I know, and you see it in Montgomery County, and definitely as you get farther south in Madison County, pretty good amounts of winter wheat crop. How is that looking, and is it looking pretty good, or is there any issues there?
So the wheat crop, I would say, was on track to be the earliest harvest that I can remember. All that warm weather in February really made a break dormancy very early. I think it kind of slowed down with those cool spells a little bit. I still think we're going to see the first wheat harvested right around the 1st of June. Just the timing of the rainfall, it kind of threw a monkey wrench into some planned fungicide and herbicide applications on wheat. I know some growers couldn't really get their harmony on it at the right time. And then it also took off raining again right as we needed to be making some head scab applications. And in a lot of cases, you know, we miss pollination when we needed to be out there applying fungicides. I have seen some stripe rust kind of break out in some varieties, so I do know that's out there. As we get closer to harvest, those diseases are just going to continue, especially if we get some more humidity and some more rainfall. But all in all, I mean, there's going to be some tremendous wheat out there, I think. I think it was kind of cool for a lot of head scab infection. I could be wrong, but... Yield-wise, I think we're set for a pretty good wheat crop by the looks of it. Now, granted, I could be surprised whenever the combine gets there, but it certainly looks pretty good.
With the stripe rust that you mentioned, is that something that once it is affecting the crop that it can be sprayed with a fungicide? Or, I mean, does that all depend on the timing and how developed the crop is?
So we're past when anyone could be applying anything for stripe rust. There's a 30-day pre-harvest interval is the shortest fungicide you can find. There is a lot of confusion, so there's a couple classes of fungicides. Ones are called preventative, and the others are called curative, or that's kind of, I guess, the slang that's thrown around about them. Preventative does just what it says. It prevents an infection from occurring. And a curative does not remove any damage caused by the disease, but it stops the infection in its tracks. So on these fields that have stripe rust, I mean, if a guy were to come in and spray a curative fungicide, he would never get green tissue back where that disease has, you know, turned his flag leaf necrotic. He's just pretty much protecting the green area that he has left in that flag.
So it sounds like as of now with disease, the damage that has been done, that's just going to remain, and as you said, too late to do anything about it now because we're getting too close to that harvest time.
Yep, that's correct. And, you know, I would recommend everyone take an eye, close eye to the disease ratings of the varieties they plant. There's wide susceptibility variances from variety to variety. So that's one thing to keep an eye out for when making seed selection.
Regional Sales Agronomist for M&M Service Company, Jason Bowler. And that does it for this morning's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.